Fiat says by the end of the year, it'll own Chrysler.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective. What's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world? Italy's Fiat today confirmed it'll buy into more of American carmaker Chrysler, putting its stake at 46%. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London. He has more on that story. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So why is Fiat doing this?
Well, Fiat already has 30% of Chrysler, which it acquired since the company emerged from Chapter 11 2 years ago. Fiat's running Chrysler at the moment, and it wants to own it, as you say, before the end of the year. Fiat wants to become a much bigger company, and it wants greater access to the all-important U.S. market, where historically Fiat hasn't had much of a presence.
So what is it going to mean if Chrysler is Italian-owned?
Well, Chrysler would undoubtedly benefit from Fiat's expertise in making smaller economy cars. Here's David Bailey of Coventry University Business School.
This could actually help Chrysler in the sense that they've had a pretty poor track record on developing fuel-efficient small cars. Chrysler can't really do that on its own. It needs another partner, whether to develop cars with jointly or whether it has a bigger owner with deeper pockets.
So is it a foregone conclusion then, Stephen? Will Chrysler be taken over?
David Bailey thinks so, yes, because the deal makes good industrial and economic sense, he says. He says it's difficult to see Chrysler surviving on its own. But this is going to be a bit of a psychological blow for the US, one of the big three car makers falling under the control of a foreign company.
All right. Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
In Russia, Prime Minister Vladimir Putin told his nation's parliament yesterday the country is emerging powerfully from the global financial crisis. But a population decline there, he says, is holding the country back economically. So Putin announced a $50 billion initiative aimed at helping the Russian people live longer and increase their numbers. Reporter Peter Van Dyke has more.
Russians are big drinkers and smokers, and they die young, at least compared to people in other wealthy countries. They also have fewer children. James Nixey is at the Chatham House think tank in London.
You know, the demographic situation is so difficult, it's like turning around an oil tanker. It just cannot be done immediately, and it possibly can't even be done at all.
The government already pays Russians to have more children, but now Prime Minister Vladimir Putin says it will do more. Once, a Russian official even offered rewards to couples who gave birth on Russia Day. 9 months before the holiday, he declared Family Contact Day, encouraging husbands and wives to be friendly.
So I think it's a situation which goes beyond chucking money at it and, you know, having national sex days and all that kind of rubbish.
The government knows that, and it is trying to get Russians to take better care of themselves. The last person who tried that banned alcohol sales, but it didn't go very well. His name was Mikhail Gorbachev. In Moscow, I'm Peter Van Dyke for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global stocks are higher at the moment. Yum! Brands, parent to KFC, Pizza Hut, and Taco Bell, said first quarter profit was up about 10%. Stores in China pushing higher sales. But Taco Bell said fewer people ate at their stores because of a lawsuit over beef, a suit that was dropped. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 186 points to close at 12,453.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality. And by Manta.com, providing an online destination for small businesses to be found and to find new customers. More online at Manta.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, trained agents committed to small business success, on the web at farmers.com.
British oil giant BP has filed suit against its oil rig partners Transocean and Halliburton, saying their negligence contributed to last year's Gulf of Mexico oil disaster. More than a year later, shrimping season is underway this week in Louisiana. The spill severely hurt sales of shrimp. So a new online marketing and sales effort is working to help fishermen lure new customers. Marketplace's Eve Tro reports.
Multiple hurricanes have hit the port of Delcom, Louisiana. So is competition from cheap imported seafood. And the BP oil spill hurt its image. Only a dozen or so shrimp boats hang on. Terrell Melanson has one.
It's been a family, about 45 years. It's been handed down from my father.
He stands on the deck, deeply tanned in jeans and a T-shirt, and telltale shrimper footwear, tall white rubber boots.
Yes, ma'am, yes. Some Cajun Reeboks.
Next to him is Thomas Emel, who does outreach with fishermen for Louisiana State University.
So this is an old-time Cypress hull, huh?
This is the old Cypress hull. This is the oldest boat in Port of Delcom.
Emel collects details like this for a website, portofdelcom.com. He writes profiles of local fishermen and updates on what they catch. Emel says they won't go on Facebook or Twitter.
But now look, they will call you. This morning I got a call from Jimmy Dupre on the T-Turbo. Hey, Tom, I got shrimp.
So Emel immediately posts what kind of shrimp the boat caught and when it'll be in port. Customers get an email or text message, then call the fisherman, Jimmy Dupre.
Hello.
While he's still on the boat.
Yeah, we're out in the bay right now. Me and my wife and my grandson pay $3.25 a pound for the big ones. Most of my customers want big shrimp.
Shrimpers make 2 to 3 times more money this way. The port is opening the website to other seafood. Economist Alex Miller works with fishermen around the Gulf. He says there's a feel-good factor, too.
Consumers really want to know where their seafood came from, and they want to know the story.
He's helping customers all around the country meet fishermen virtually. He plans to put tags on Gulf seafood that customers can scan with a smartphone or look up online. They'll see who caught their fish, where, and when it was tested for toxins.
And know that it passed with flying colors, and hey, this is a safe product to eat.
He says right now, there's no such thing as too much information about Gulf seafood. I'm Eve Troe for Marketplace.
And finally, for the first time in 130 years, visitors to the Ohio State Fair will be able to buy alcohol at the event. But only Ohio-produced beer and wine with grapes grown at state vineyards. Officials say it's going to give a big boost to sales, especially for that underappreciated vintage Akron Pinot and Cleveland's astoundingly unknown Cabernet. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
You know this feeling, right? I think that we live in a world today where you can't leave your house, you can't do anything without somebody trying to market something to you, doesn't mean trying to sell you something.
Which came first, the marketing or the money? I'm Kai Rizdahl. A chat with Morgan Spurlock about his new documentary, Palm Wonderful Presents the Greatest Movie Ever Sold. It's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.